you know, Kathy, when you sent me the bulletin, you didn't say I was going to follow and act like that. So you didn't want to put any pressure on, huh? Okay. This morning's scripture reading, our first reading this morning, is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 38, verse 15 to 20. But what can I say? He has spoken to me, and he himself has done this. I will walk humbly all my years because of this anguish of my soul. Lord, by such things men live, and my spirit finds life in them too. You restored me to health and let me live. Surely it was for my benefit that I suffered such anguish. In your love, you kept me from the pit of destruction. You have put all my sins behind your back. For the grave cannot praise you. Death cannot sing your praise. Those who go down to the pit cannot hope for your faithfulness. The living, they praise you, as I am doing today. Fathers tell their children about your faithfulness. The Lord will save me, and we will sing with stringed instruments all the days of our lives in the temple of the Lord. And our second reading is from the book of Romans, chapter 14. Accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters. One man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another man whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. The man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not, and the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does, for God has accepted him. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand for the Lord is able to make him stand. One man considers one day more sacred than another. Another man considers every day alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. He who regards one day as special does so to the Lord. He who eats meat eats to the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. And he who abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life, so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. You then, why do you judge your brother? Or why do you look down on your brother? We will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, "As surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me. Every tongue will confess to God." So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Jeff. So the message this week is going to come from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, verses 21 through 38. This is the parable of the unmerciful servant. Matthew writes, starting at verse 21, he says, "Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, 'Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?' Well, Jesus answered, 'I tell you not seven times, but 77 times. For therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted the servants to settle accounts with his servants. And as he began to the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. And at this, the servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay you back everything.' But the servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him, Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. Well, his fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and he had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. Well, when the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said, I canceled all your debt of yours because you begged me to. Since you've had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you. Well, in the anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. Then Jesus said, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for an opportunity to come and to join together to study your word and to learn how to live, especially today in this environment and in all things. We do pray that you'd be with us, open our hearts and minds to have a better understanding of your will in our lives. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Well, let's see if I can keep from tripping over everything. Seems like I haven't been here in a long time. Seems like I've taken way too much time off. But it's always good to be back. And the more I'm here, the more I think God lays stuff on my heart to share with you. He's given me an opportunity to share in the message and on our website and all we have done. And so every Monday morning, I usually sit down and I try to figure out what's going on in our lives and how I should, what message I should deliver and what he puts on our hearts. So this week, I think he led me to this passage of the unmerciful servant because of a time I got to spend with my family. So my brothers and I and my sisters, we all went golfing one day. In this last weekend, we went to a kind of early in the morning, and we got there, and there was actually six of us that were traveling around. There was only five of us that were going to golf. Well, naturally, if you know anything about golf, the protocols are you only put four people on a tee at once. Any more than that, it's kind of rude. Well, we decided we were going to be rude, but there weren't many people there, so we went to the back nine. This is where we started, and on that back nine, there wasn't anybody around. Nobody else was golfing, so we thought, this would be good. So we're golfing, and we're, I don't know, four or five holes into it on the back nine, and pretty soon we see some people behind us, so we decide to motion them on. Well, they kind of ignored us. I thought, okay, so must be they're not in a big hurry. We played a couple more holes, and there they were again, and it's like motioned to again, and they didn't go past us. I think, okay. So we played through, and we finally reached hole 18. Finally, they got disgusted with us, and they come zooming by. Well, I just so happened to be on next to the road and say, come by, and the fella stopped, and he looked me in the eye, and he says, he informed me all the rules. He says, you know, there's only supposed to be four on a tee box. I said, I know, and I'm sorry about that, but it was slow, and I didn't think that many people were coming. And we did try to motion you. Well, he didn't say much more, but I got that agitated look and that angry voice, and boom, off he goes in the golf cart. So we come back down off the 18 holes, and as we're finally coming back towards the clubhouse, I happen to see this same fella coming out in his truck. And he's coming out, and I'm getting this awful angry look out of him. So I waved and I smiled and I said, sorry once again, and he flips me the bird. So I got to thinking, and I got to praying this week. I'm thinking, Lord, so how should we as Christians really deal with people that have a hostile heart? You know, we run across them more and more all the time, especially in the environment that's going on. Somebody will get hostile with you because you're not wearing a mask, or they get or they want to run away because you're getting near them. It feels like it's getting worse all the time. There's more hostile hearts out there than we can possibly seem to imagine. I thought, we need to talk about it a little bit, and you need to ask yourself, do I have a hostile heart? So when I was thinking about that, I got looking it up, and I got thinking about what scientists said about hostile hearts. I got thinking about it, and so if the scientist tells us, and all the people around us say so, and we're all familiar, there's two types of people, isn't there? There's A's and there's B's. And we all kind of each classify ourselves. I know, so those people with that are A-type people. They're always in a hurry, aren't they? They seem to be the ambitious ones, but they're always in a hurry. They're always impatient. Want things done right now, and they're quick to anger. Or there's those B people, they're kind of laid back. I'd like to be one of these. You know, they're laid back, they're calm, kind of slow to anger. And I think over the years, God tries to change us. Because those A-type personalities, you know what, they suffer from heart attacks real quick. You know, and, you know, as the experts looked into it, they said, well, the reason the A-type people have heart attacks more often is they get angry. They get hostile. And their blood pressure goes up. I can see this in all eight people because their faces turn bright red usually, you know. You ever see that? And you can just tell, ooh, here's a real hostile heart coming on. And as I searched Scripture out, I got to thinking about, so where did Jesus ever talk about people with hostile hearts? And this was it, the merciful servant. So I want us to think about it a little bit this morning. In our story, if we look at it again, actually, he starts telling us this parable in verse 23. He says, so, therefore, the kingdom of heaven was like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. Okay, so we're going to look at this a little differently. So the king, usually in that day, so their annual salary, their annual income would be right around 900 bags of gold, we'll say. And so he went on to settle accounts with everybody. And so his governors were probably the ones who were considered his servants in his story. Governors weren't paid much. They weren't paid anywhere near what the king was paid. So he owed, what did it tell us here? It says he owed him 10,000 bags of gold. You know what that is today's currency? If we looked at it, when we evaluated it today, that would be $10 million. This guy had a big debt. He had a huge debt. So think about what the king did for him. The king canceled all his debts, no strings attached. That old king, he had to be a B-type person, wasn't he? The more I thought about it, I got thinking, well, this old big debtor, he was an A-type personality. So he goes out, he says, I'm going to get that money back because I'm not going to be the one left holding on to the bag here. So he goes and finds somebody who owes him, what did it tell us? 100 denarii? You know what that is? That equates to 20 bucks. Think about it. The king just gave him a $10 million gift, and this one poor fellow owes him 20 bucks. And he didn't have any mercy on him, did he? He had him thrown in jail so he could pay the 20 bucks off. Of course, their jails were a little different than ours. The family could still work, but they had to spend every night in prison or in the jail or confined or under guard. But even so, he didn't forgive him for $20, and he just won $10 million. It was like he was a $10 million winner. But he had this hostile heart. And hostile hearts, we find out that they kill relationships, don't they? So what happened here? So this big debtor, after he had done all this, the king hears about it from the other governors, more than likely, and he calls him in and he reclaims it. He killed that relationship, didn't he? Because of hostile hearts. They kill. They kill relationships. So I thought we ought to talk about it, look at it maybe a little differently today. If you look at this seriously, we all have to realize what's going on here. So for those of us who believe, those of us who are Christians, if we see God as our King, who we know is, He's granted us $10 million. He's granted us everything. He's given us a gift there is no way in a lifetime we could possibly repay, because He gave us air to breathe, lungs to breathe it with. Everything we own, everything we see, everything in nature that's around us, He has given to us. We are the big debtors. We have a $10 million debt that we could not possibly pay back. And the biggest gift of all is that He gives us an opportunity for eternal life. We never have to face death and hell and destruction. Think about the gift that we really have been given. An opportunity to be with Him forever. How could we ever repay that? There is no way we can forgive our own sins, our own transgressions. We needed God to do that. And He did that through Jesus, His Son. So when we put that in perspective, because He forgives us our sins, we are the big debtors. So why is it so hard for us to forgive? When somebody asks us to forgive them, no matter what they ask us for, it's no more than 20 bucks compared to the 10 million that we've been given. I think about a story of a fellow who was telling about his romantic woes. He said, well, yeah, I kind of offended my girlfriend, but so I went and I asked her if she would forgive me. She said, well, I'm going to meet you halfway. I will forgive you, but I am going to forget you. You know, we laugh about that, but that is all part of it, because we have the decision within us to forgive. We have to make that decision. Because if we don't, we hold that hostility inside of us. Think about it this way. When we make that decision to forgive somebody, who here has forgiven somebody and regrets it? I don't see any hands going up. Who has a resentment that they ever took the opportunity to forgive somebody? It always pays off big, don't it? But when we don't forgive somebody, who here has had a chance to forgive somebody and didn't and killed that relationship? Come on, I know everybody here can raise their hands. At some point in your life, you've chosen not to forgive someone, and you've killed a relationship. What did that cost you, really? Way more than you could possibly receive. So Jesus is teaching us here. He says, we're not required. It's not required that we forgive, but there is a price for it. If we ask Christ into our heart, as Christians, He has forgiven our sins, and God, He doesn't take it back. But He says that, but if you want to live in His kingdom, if you want to be blessed by God in your lives, you'll learn to forgive as He has forgiven. What did Jesus teach us to pray? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. If we truly want to be blessed by God, that's how we do it. We forgive our debts as He forgave us. Because, guess what? We're $10 million winners. We need to have our eyes on that. We need to focus on that as we go through this world. How much we have actually been given, and what would it really cost me to forgive this debt, to forgive this person no matter what the wrong? Even sometimes people make mistakes. We all ambitious. I think about the story of in the theater where the theater usher, he moves about to start, and he happens to notice about halfway, third of the way down, there's a guy draped over two of the seats. He's taking up two seats. So the usher goes down and says, sir, you know, you're going to have to straighten up a little bit. You only paid for one seat. And the guy didn't say anything. He just laid there. Well, the usher says, I'm going to have to get the manager if you don't straighten up. He didn't say a word. So usher goes back, gets the manager. Manager and usher come down. Manager looking, sir, you only bought one ticket. You're going to need to straighten up or I'm going to call the police. Well, the guy still didn't straighten up. Manager said, sir, I'm serious. I'm going to have to call the police. Well, he didn't utter a word. He just stayed there draped across them two seats. Manager goes out, calls police. Police show up. So cops come down. He said, cops down there. The manager's down there. The usher's down there. And this guy still draped across these two seats. The cop comes down there and says, buddy, you're going to have to straighten up. Or I'm going to take you to prison. So where did you come from anyway? And the guy looks up at the balcony. Don't them people probably feel really foolish now? But you know what? We can forgive ourselves, even when we feel stupid, like we made a stupid mistake or we made a wrong decision in our lives. That's what God's telling us here. It's only a $20 mistake. You need to figure out how to forgive yourselves, how to forgive others, how to forgive those around each other. There was a cartoon I was looking at, and how many of you remember, for better or worse, the cartoons they used to be in the papers all the time? How many people look at them? Michael and Lizzie and her mom. So in one of the cartoons, on one of the frames, it shows Lizzie's, she's coming in Michael's bedroom, and he's not having anything to do with it, and he slams the door. Well, Lizzie's finger got caught in the door. And, of course, in the next frame, you see, here's Michael and Lizzie and Mom. They're in the emergency room, and Lizzie's getting her finger all bandaged up. And Michael, he's feeling pretty bad about it. It's not looking good, and he's feeling bad that it all happened. And he finally goes in the next frame, and he looks at Lizzie, and Lizzie looks at him, and she looks at him, and she says, don't worry, it won't hurt forever. But then in the next caption, Michael says, it might not hurt you forever, but it will me, because I'll remember. That's what happens to us when we have a hostile heart towards someone else. It gets inside of us, and it binds us, and it holds on to us. And we can't live in his kingdom and be blessed by him. I think today, of all days, while we're here, we need to ask ourselves, do I have a hostile heart? And if you have to say yes, you say, it's time that I come to the Lord and ask him to forgive me, forgive my debts, to heal my wounds, because I want to be a $10 million winner. And I know that no matter what happens to me, no matter who I need to forgive in my life, or who I need to go and see and reconcile, compared to what he has given me, it's only $20. I can do that. So let's pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.